Have you ever been cruising along at 2,000 feet over open countryside, feeling perfectly safe, and then looked down and realized you were about to fly over a small town? And in that moment, you thought, wait, am I legal right now? I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, and this is Radio Hangar. That question right there is one of the most common regulation gray areas student pilots struggle with, so let's untangle it today, because Federal Aviation Regulation 91.119 is one of those rules that sounds simple on the surface, but gets surprisingly nuanced once you're actually up there making decisions. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, FAR 91.119. Minimum safe altitudes. The reg has three parts, and here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Most students memorize the numbers, but never really internalize how those three parts work together. So let's walk through this together. Part A is the big umbrella. It says you cannot operate an aircraft anywhere at an altitude that would prevent you, in the event of an engine failure, from making an emergency landing without undue hazard to persons or property on the surface. Read that again? Anywhere. That is not limited to congested areas or sparsely populated areas. That applies everywhere, all the time, regardless of how high you are. If your engine quits right now, can you put it somewhere without hurting someone on the ground? That is the baseline question the FAA wants you to always be answering. Now, here's where students get tripped up. Parts B and C give you specific numbers, and people tend to memorize those numbers and forget that Part A overrides everything. You could be perfectly legal under Part B or C and still violate Part A if you have nowhere to land. Let's talk about Part B, over congested areas. Over any congested area of a city, town, or settlement, or over any open-air assembly of persons, you must maintain an altitude of 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within a horizontal radius of 2,000 feet of the aircraft. Let me break that apart because there's a lot packed in there. First, congested area. The FAA has never precisely defined what congested means. There is no population density number. There is no building count threshold. This is intentionally left vague, and the FAA has said in legal interpretations that congested means what a reasonable person would consider congested. A downtown with tall buildings? Obviously congested. A neighborhood with houses close together? Congested? A rural area with one farmhouse every half mile? Probably not. But here is the part that catches people. Open-air assembly of persons. That means a county fair. A Saturday morning farmer's market? A high school football game? A beach packed with sunbathers, it does not matter that you are over open countryside. If there are people gathered below you, the 1,000-foot rule applies as though you are over a city. Second, 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle, not 1,000 feet above the ground. Above the highest obstacle. So if you're flying over a town that has a 300-foot radio tower, you need to be 1,000 feet above that tower, not 1,000 feet above the houses. And you measure that within a 2,000-foot horizontal radius from your aircraft, which is a little more than a third of a nautical mile in every direction. Now, Part C, over sparsely populated areas or open water. Here, the rule says you cannot operate closer than 500 feet to any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. Notice the shift. Over congested areas, the FAA gives you a hard altitude floor. Over sparsely populated areas, they give you a distance bubble, 500 feet from any person or thing. This means over truly open terrain with nobody around, you could theoretically fly very low and still be legal under Part C. But remember, Part A is always in effect, even if Part C allows it. Can you still make a safe emergency landing from that altitude? At 200 feet over a forest with no clearings? Probably not. Part A would get you. Here is a scenario that shows up on check rides and in real life. You're flying cross-country at 3,500 feet. You have been over farmland for the last 40 minutes. Ahead of you, you can see a small town. It is not a big city, maybe a few hundred houses, a couple of church steeples, a water tower. The examiner is looking for you to recognize that this is a transition behind you. Part C applied 500 feet from any person or structure was your constraint. Ahead, Part B kicks in because that town is a congested area by any reasonable standard. You now need 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within 2,000 feet of you. That water tower might be 150 feet tall. Those church steeples may be 80 feet. But let's say the town sits at an elevation of 800 feet above sea level, and the tallest obstacle is a 200-foot cell tower. You would need to be at 2,000 feet mean sea level as an absolute minimum. 1,000 feet above that 2,000-foot obstacle gives you a floor of, well, you need to do the math for the specific situation. This is why knowing the terrain elevation and obstacle heights along your route matters, and this leads to a practical point that goes beyond just the regulation. When you're planning across country, look at the sectional chart. Those little blue numbers next to obstacle symbols? Those are heights above mean sea level, with the top number showing the total height and the bottom number in parentheses showing the height above ground level. Those numbers are your friends when figuring out your minimum safe altitude. Now there is a sneaky part of this regulation that people forget. It does not apply inside the traffic pattern at an airport. The reg specifically says, except when necessary for takeoff or landing, and the standard traffic pattern altitude at most airports is 1,000 feet above ground level, which would violate the congested area rule if you are at an airport surrounded by a town. But the exception covers you. However, and this is important, the exception covers you in the traffic pattern. It does not give you blanket permission to fly low just because you are in the vicinity of an airport. You need to be conducting a normal approach or departure. You cannot buzz the neighborhood east of the field at 300 feet and claim you are in the pattern. Let me give you one more real-world scenario. You are a freshly minted private pilot. A friend asks you to fly over their house so they can take a picture of your airplane from the ground. Their house is in a suburban neighborhood. Rows of houses, cul-de-sacs, a school nearby. That is a congested area, 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within 2,000 feet. But your friend wants a close flyover. You drop to 800 feet above ground level to get a good photo. You just violated 91.119 Part B. And if anyone reports you or the FAA sees it, you're looking at a certificate action. It happens more often than you think. Social media has made it worse because people post the videos. Here is how I think about this regulation when I'm actually flying. I carry a simple mental model over a town, 1,000 above the tallest thing I can see over open country, 500 from any person or building. And everywhere, always, can I glide to a safe landing spot from here? If the answer to that last question is no, I climb regardless of what Part B or C says I'm allowed to do. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate lists regulations including 91.119 as knowledge you need to demonstrate on the oral exam. The examiner might ask you to state the minimums, but a good examiner will also give you a scenario. They will describe a situation and ask whether you're legal. The difference between passing and failing that question usually comes down to whether you memorize numbers or actually understand how the three parts of the regulation work together. One last thing. There is a Part D to this regulation that most students glaze over. It says helicopters, powered parachutes, and weight shift control aircraft can operate at lower altitudes than the ones we just discussed, as long as they follow the specific rules for their aircraft category. So, if you see a helicopter at 200 feet over a highway, they might be perfectly legal. Different rules for different machines. But for us in airplanes, the framework is clear. Part A always applies. Part B protects people in congested areas. Part C keeps you away from individuals and structures in the open. Know the numbers, but more importantly, know why the numbers exist. They exist because the people on the ground did not sign up for the risk of your engine failing directly overhead. That last thought is really the heart of this regulation, and it is worth carrying with you every time you fly. Most of the information today came straight from Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations and a handful of FAA Chief Counsel interpretations that have clarified the congested area question over the years. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Fly high enough that the decision is never close. See you next time.